joining us on the WBGO Journal is the new president of Bloomfield College. Dr. Marquita Evans is not only the first woman, she's the first African-American president of Bloomfield College here in New Jersey. In full disclosure, I'm thrilled because I'm an adjunct professor at Bloomfield College. So it's great to finally meet you, and welcome to the WBGO Journal.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about being here.
Dr. Evans, being raised by your grandparents during the civil rights movement in the 1960s, what impact did that have on you early as a youngster, before you even knew that you were going to become this educator?
Well, you know, again, growing up, like as you said, during the 60s, it was a very turbulent time. I'm from Alabama. And, you know, if you know anything about history, you probably know what the situation was, specifically black and white in the state at that particular time. Of course, Martin Luther King Jr. was alive. We had a lot of riots and things that were happening. But being raised by my grandparents and my grandparents instilling in me the importance of education, you know, my grandmother would always say, people can take your house, your car, everything from you, but they can never take your education. So it really wasn't an option the way that I was growing up. Education was always key. Unless I'll tell my daughters now, unless you are ready to go to the hospital, you're getting up and you're going to school. And so that was just the way I was raised. And with that, though, she also taught and instilled in me the importance of service, that you have to give back, that with privilege and opportunities comes an opportunity for you to give back and serve to others.
It's amazing because just a couple of weeks ago on the WBGO Journal, we heard from Carl Towns Sr., whose son, Carl Anthony Towns, is a part of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes, I know.
And they held an event in New Jersey. He talked about how he and his wife stressed upon their children early on, and almost the exact words that you used about how important education is and that everything else can go away, but they can't take away your education.
And once your eyes are open, they cannot close them again. So,
why do you think it took this long to have an African-American president of Bloomfield College?
Well, you know, if you look across the nation, period, and let me just kind of take a step back, the whole reason why I wanted to become a president, if you look at the national statistics related to women, and step that up some, women of color, that in presidential roles, it's very small. So I started off, my passion has always been working with students. But when I start looking at other administrators and people being able to advance on the academic affairs side, it became my mission to purposely check the boxes so that eventually I can be in a position to apply for a presidential job. And it was mainly being done because, again, as I said, there's just a scarcity of women and women of color that are presidents. And so I wanted to be that role model, saying that if I can come from my background, being raised and legally adopted by my grandparents, that hopefully students can look at me and maybe at a minority serving institution or even not a minority, just any student, period, can look at me and say, if Marquita can do this, I can too as well.
The students in my class are already talking about these wonderful things that they're looking for. They have a lot of trust in you already. Why do you think that is?
You know, one is everything's relational. I've been very purposeful of being there for games, being out on the quad. I have time when I sit and eat in the cafeteria. I don't sit with the other staff. I sit with the students. And I have that conversation with them about how things are going. How are they doing here at Bloomfield College? And I think they see that sincerity in my actions by showing up. If I have one more person tell me, well, we never had the president to come in here and do this before, not that I'm saying anything disparaging about the previous president, it's just a difference, I think, of just trying to make that connection.
And I understand you and your husband, Edgar, have done this before. Wherever community that you're a part of, you really engage the people who are part of it. Does it go back to your grandparents on learning that?
Oh, most definitely. Our house was a community house. So my grandmother would buy all the toys and all the games. And, you know, the kids couldn't come in the house, but everything that we wanted, from water to food and sandwiches, she put it out there. And we were all just a part of the community together. We knew what was happening. That's when it truly was a village. When things good or bad were happening in other families, we were there to just make sure that we could support.
Do you ever see the movie Lackawanna Blues or the play?
No, I have not yet.
You've just described
really
what their place was.
Yeah.
So that may be a show that you'll want to check out.
Most definitely.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Tuition is always, you know, a concern at any university or college. What are students facing right now, and what do you plan to do about tuition to make it affordable, and but yet you know you need to pay the bills?
Yes, we most definitely do. You know, we're a private institution. Most people don't realize that Bloomfield College is the only four-year predominantly Black institution in the state of New Jersey. We're also a Hispanic-serving institution as well in HSI. And so with those students, and I'm going to give you some more data, about 70% of our students are first generation. Over 90% of our students receive some form of financial aid. So we have a unique purpose and mission in the state of New Jersey and beyond. And that really is to work with students that maybe were not accepted somewhere else. But again, and they also want to maybe have a small faculty student ratio. We're doing a lot of different things to try to help support the students. Now, we are the lowest priced private institution in New Jersey. I can say that. I can also say, too, that we don't have these extra fees that are tied on to a lot of other institutions for the students. We have one set price, and that's the price, the only price the students have to pay. They don't have to pay additional fees for other things on campus. But the tuition is still high. You know, being a mother of six, my husband and I have five daughters and one son. I know the importance of trying to navigate that world and trying to make sure you get the loans, the subsidized loans, scholarships, what scholarships are available. Unfortunately, again, it does cost a lot, and we're trying to do our best to minimize that as much as possible.
Diversity is a big thing for you. And one thing that I've noticed in the years that I've taught at Bloomfield College, I've taught elsewhere, and a lot of schools talk about diversity, and they do have it as far as the makeup. Mm-hmm. It seems different, though, at Bloomfield, where the students of different colors actually talk and are friends with each other.
Yes.
And I think you know what I'm talking about,
oh, yes.
Where you can say you're diverse, but those groups can be separate.
Oh, most definitely. I'm coming from San Antonio, Texas. And in Texas, I worked at two Hispanic-serving institutions, and they had that in their title, Hispanic-serving institutions, HSI. The only problem I had at one of my institutions, not the last one, was that we used to say that we're more Hispanic-enrolling than Hispanic-serving. And when you walk around the campus, we want you to make sure that you feel your cultural identity is present. And that's one of the things that I'm working with at Bloomfield, honestly, is where's the branding? When a student walks into your space, do they feel as if they're being valued in that space? And they've done a great job with that, but I want to take it to the next level.
Some of my female students, I ask them, you know, I'm going to have the opportunity, and I want them to have the opportunity to talk to you as well.
Yes.
But I said, you know, give me some questions that you would have for Dr. Evans. And one from the female students particular saying, the importance of being a leader of this college and being a woman, what does it mean to you, and what should they look forward to in, as far as is there going to be a difference they can feel, they can taste, they can touch?
Most definitely. Actually, I have an open door policy. So I was meeting with a student yesterday, a female student, matter of fact, and she again asked the question, why am I here? And I told her, I'm here for you. She says, well, I really don't want the scripted answer. I'm like, baby, you don't know me yet. But as you get to know me, I don't say things for fluff. I know why I am here, and you're the reason why in this moment. For you to come in here and sit and talk with the president about all the issues we ended up talking about in her life, and to know that I understand and that I will do everything within my power to make sure that they're successful, I know what my purpose on this earth is.
Most of us have a teacher that made a difference in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I know my daughter's a teacher. When she went to Montclair State, she had a teacher there that really changed her whole outlook on inclusive ed. And now she's a special ed teacher in Neptune, New Jersey, after working a couple of years here in Newark. Who was that special educator for you that lit the fire inside Dr. Marquita Evans?
You know, that can go both ways. You can have a positive influence, and you can also have a negative influence that still pushes you as a result of that. I will say, I'm going all the way back to my first grade. Jewel Wilkerson was her name. She was my first grade teacher. She was phenomenal. She used to smoke like a chimney stack. But with that, having said that, though, you know, back in that time, that wasn't a big deal. And she would talk to me and work with me and mentor and tutor me with a cigarette flipping up and down on her lips. But she was the one that gave me my love of reading, my love of learning. And I, when I actually defended my dissertation, I made sure I attributed that success to that moment and being in her presence. She's since passed away.
What are you most proud of serving as provost and vice president for academic affairs at Our Lady of the Lake University in San Antonio?
Ooh, there's so many things to be proud of. And more than anything else, I think it was regaining the trust of the faculty and staff in the community. Before I came there at that particular institution, they had had several votes of no confidence of the previous president. The morale was low. The trust of administration, a lot of times they say when you're an administrator, that's the dark side. And I tried really hard to kind of bridge that gap between the administration, faculty and staff, saying we're all on each other's side. We're here to support. Let's get out of the silos. So by the time that I left Our Lady of the Lake, I firmly believe that the trust had been restored in that community. And we were working as a seamless team. And that's the thing that I'm most proud of.
Born in Alabama.
Yes.
Educated in Alabama. Teaching in Texas, now Jersey. What have you noticed is the big difference between these three states when it comes to education, when it comes to just life?
Right. So, you know, I was born in Alabama, but I didn't live there my whole life. I've lived in San Antonio three times now. My stepfather was in the Air Force. I actually graduated from high school in Washington, D.C. And so I've kind of lived all over, traveled all over the world as well. What my husband and I find really, truly interesting, coming from San Antonio, people don't realize that it's the seventh largest city in the United States. It's also what we call a majority minority city. The largest population there is Hispanic or Latinx. And since we've been in Jersey, what we found is we actually hear more people speaking Spanish in New Jersey, in Bloomfield, than we did the whole time we were in San Antonio. And that surprised
us. That's interesting,
isn't it? It is. You know, we absolutely love the diversity here that, I mean, you hear all kinds of languages. It's just wonderful. The food, the weather. We've never had a summer where we hadn't hit triple digits. I mean, you know, it's been a long, long time. I was in San Antonio 21 years. So moving here now, I think it was last week, we had a 49-degree morning. I'm like, whoa, if this is an indicator for the winter, I might be in trouble.
Spurs fan?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm a sports fan. My husband sometimes called me a guy girl. Because I will ask him sometimes, honey, stop talking for a second. I'm looking at this, right? Or if the game is really intense, because I went to University of Alabama, and of course, Roll Tide, I'll get so nervous. I'll have to separate myself out because I can't deal with the chatter or the commentators or whatever. But definitely the Spurs and Popovich, totally in love with all of them.
You've been so spoiled, Marquise.
I know, right?
Dr. Evans has been spoiled. She rooted for the Spurs. They have all those world championships.
Yes.
Roll Tide, I mean, if it wasn't for Clemson, you would have had another one.
No, but you know he is a graduate of Alabama.
There you see.
Roll Tide.
It's all connected, right?
Yes, it is.
I guess the closest I get to Alabama is I used to have a helmet and pretended I was Joe Namath
when I was
growing up.
Yes.
I guess that's the closest I get to Alabama football. We're talking about since we brought up athletics. There's some terrific athletic programs, and Gerald Holmes is the men's basketball coach, and
yes.
You might not be aware that his father was one of the biggest contributors to this radio station when it got off to the ground many years ago.
Know.
So he hooked up with me right away when I became a part of the faculty, and I've been so impressed with the athletic program, their great track program, great basketball, volleyball. And you're a fan. So,
I am.
So what are you going to do with the athletic program that maybe some of these young athletes want to know about?
Well, again, being their number one fan and hopefully not getting thrown out any of the games due to officiating, I'm like, is that the president screaming at the ref? But, you know, they have a great athletic director, Sheila Wooten, and she has really just gotten these phenomenal coaches. I don't know if you know that our women's basketball coach is one of the top 100 coaches in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, absolutely. And she's been on my podcast, Sports Gym. So.
Oh, has she?
Oh,
awesome.
I've been a big fan for many, many years.
Yes. Our track and field is growing phenomenally. You know, one of the things that I really want to focus on are the facilities for our athletic programs. A lot of our teams, of course, we have to outsource where we're at Foley Field or different things. And we really appreciate the city really helping us and sponsor that and allow us to use those facilities. But we need to do more things on campus to look at wellness, fitness, you know, increasing our workout areas for our athletes. Those are things that I really want to see about getting some sponsorships to really not have to have an exception with the NCAA because our gym is too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that really bothers me. They've done a lot of things as far as the lighting in the gyms. But again, it still feels like sometimes, you know, that we need to do a lot more.
Some people still aren't aware that it's a Division II.
Yes.
So we're talking major,
D2,
you know,
NCAA.
Major sporting events.
Yes.
So since diversity and sports are two of your passions, let's go back to diversity a little bit. You know, you've authored as an author of books. Mm-hmm. One of the things you've done is spent time in Africa.
Yes.
And I want you to talk about that.
Wow, that was truly a life-changing experience for me. I was working with a project through USAID, USAID, dealing with cultural literacy in the country of Malawi. What we're trying to do with that project was really help the country write its own stories. And it's kind of like the theme that we have at Bloomfield, right? Write your story. But, you know, they were getting these wonderful donations from other countries of stories that didn't look like their culture. So we worked with the educators in learning how to write the story from their context. You know, it didn't have beautiful young people with blonde hair. It actually had the texture and the colors. And so we did from beginning to end on how to develop a book, including the printing press. We got funding for that. It was a $13 million grant that we received. And it was in combination with University of Texas, Austin. I was at University of Texas, San Antonio at the time. And we literally went over there with them in Malawi and sat down and helped them write the stories, do the artwork of the books. We did have to, how can I say this? I want to be as sensitive as possible. You know, in some countries in Malawi, when your kid is bad, they beat them, right? The role of the female sometimes was not as positive. And so when they were writing these stories, we still had to kind of work with them culturally and maybe not putting in there, you're going to beat them with a stick. You know, that's not the story
sure.
we wanted to share.
Yeah.
But still, we wanted to honor who they were. And so just going there, them seeing me as well was important. I had my hair braided. I was dressed with my arms covered because a lot of them are Muslims in the country as well. And I spoke a little bit of the language, which is Chichewa. And so they assumed that I was from the country, but I wasn't, of course. But they asked me to make sure I never forgot them when I left back, because they were saying, too, that a lot of people that looked like them were not coming over and helping them. And that really broke my heart, to be perfectly honest. But it also transformed me to know that I have to continue to do this work.
We're speaking with Dr. Marquita Evans, who is the new president of Bloomfield College. She took over in June. With that being a part of you, part of your makeup, will we see maybe an increase in an attempt to have students do more work in other countries of
yes,
color?
Yes, yes, most definitely. I'm hoping to work with the faculty and staff to infuse more in the curriculum, what we call service learning. And so, you know, culturally, again, when you're dealing with people of color, a lot of times, and I'm just not just saying them, it is one of service, of giving back, that you reach back and you help someone as you move forward. And so I want to infuse that not only in other countries, but here within their community as well. What can we do to serve? And then once we get this whole global, I think, perspective built in a little bit more, we can expand their reach. You know, we took some students this summer. I went with them to a Broadway show to go see the prom. You'd be surprised how many of our students said it was the first time, number one, that they've been to a Broadway play, but also just leaving New Jersey and going to New York. You can see New York right across the water, the river, right? But for some, they've never been that far. So I want to just expose them to those types of opportunities.
You've traveled, as you mentioned, all over the world. Is there someone that you haven't met yet that you would like to sit down and pick his or her brain?
Oh, yes. Can we start with President Obama?
Sure.
I would love to do that.
What would you ask him?
Just about his experience, you know, having been in the presidency. The same thing, of course, I just finished reading, not just, I guess it was about a year or so ago, Michelle Obama's book. And she really shed a lot of things I just had no idea of as far as her experience being there in the White House and maneuvering that, you know, being constantly watched, whether what you wear or don't wear, you know, how you speak, your arms, you know, being exposed or not. Can you imagine the amount of pressure and stress that was continuously on them? So
the head of the communications department at Bloomfield College, the journalism department, is Dr. Gene Nutter.
Yes.
And a huge fan of yours already, by the way. You have brought out such just a spark in her. She's always had a great spark.
Oh, her spirit is just
her
so
spirit
fun.
Is amazing.
Yes.
But she always hammers on the fact that students need to be up on their current affairs and need to know what's going on in the world.
Yes.
What do you want the students of Bloomfield College to do right now as far as political climate, as far as climate itself, the climate change, and these huge topics as far as race?
Yes.
You know, there's only so much Dr. Marquita Evans can do as president of Bloomfield College.
Right.
But if you had the magic wand, what would you want these students to know?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question. So this week, we had voter registration that was happening on campus. And so I was out there with the students and trying to recruit them to make sure that they're registered. And I was really saddened by some of the comments that some of the students made. Like, why should I vote? You know, why should I register? It doesn't make a difference anyway. It doesn't have an impact. And I really almost got teary with one of the students that I encountered having this conversation of, you know, my grandparents not having the opportunity to register to vote, how people have lost their lives for this privilege. And it does matter. I said, right now, I know things politically are just crazy as all get out, but you still have to embrace this power that you have through your vote. And so, you know, it's a feeling of apathy, I think, that some of our young people have, that really, what kind of impact can I have at the national or even local level in some cases? It just breaks my heart to see, especially with young African-American males, some of the things that they have to encounter on a daily basis, or just people of color, black and brown, when they even walk into a store, how they're followed around or how they're looked at with suspicion and those kinds of things. We have to help them navigate that world. You know, when they're coming to Bloomfield College, as I mentioned earlier, I sit in the cafeteria. We sit down and we talk about how things are going with their academics, how things are going with their families, just a variety of different things. The stories that they tell us about their resiliency, they're even coming to Bloomfield. They're sad on one hand, but then they're joyous on the other, because you can see how they've overcome so many barriers and how we're going to help them finish and get their degree.
If you look at the list of accomplishments for Dr. Marquita Evans, you would say, well, she certainly didn't have time to be a mom, but that wouldn't be the case, would it? Tell us about your family.
No. So as I mentioned earlier, we have five daughters and a son. They live all over the United States right now. Matter of fact, my daughter just dropped in last night for a visit while she was in New York for a meeting. You know, I have registered dietitians. I have a biomedical engineer. I have someone who just finished her PhD and is teaching at Auburn right now. And if you know anything about Alabama and Auburn football, I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't work on Saturdays.
I know. At least when they're not playing anyway. I did have a daughter graduate from UT Austin as well. So when Alabama played University of Texas, and Alabama won, that was a hard one as well. But we have a daughter who is also a nurse in Charlotte and another educator in San Antonio. And our son is in IT. So, you know, it's just awesome.
Is there any level of your career that you would want to bring out that we haven't talked about?
No, you know, again, one of the things that I've done, I'm a past president of the American Counseling Association as well. And that also was kind of a historical, I think I was the seventh person of color serving in that role, or African-American specifically. That going into the field of counseling period kind of informs what I'm doing in leadership and why I wanted to be a counselor. I wanted people to be able to come in and be able to trust me to share whatever their problem or issues they were experiencing in their lives, and me giving them the tools to move forward successfully. I always say my job as a counselor was to work myself out of a job, because I've given you the problem-solving skills to navigate whatever comes in your life, right? And so I'm using a lot of those tools, those relationships, to guide me as a president of a college. You know, when I'm sitting down and walking and talking with my students or our faculty or staff, those skills are still there. You know, how do you make connections with people? And once people feel as if you really are concerned about them and concerned about their success, they'll want to be successful.
I know there's something that you and I share, and that is, I can tell, you love to learn.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Is there anything better than on a job than to learn on a daily basis?
I know. You know, people will say, well, when are you going to retire? I'm like, girl, I'm going to keep on going until I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. And as long as I'm doing that and being in an environment that's all about learning, right? Learning new things and seeing the light bulb go on for a student. There's nothing better than that in the world.
Dr. Evans, you're what we consider the greatest jazz station in the world right now. Are you a jazz fan?
Oh, yes. I am definitely a jazz fan. And I do more smooth jazz. But I don't know if you know Maxine Roach. She is,
sure.
You know, I have my big inauguration that's coming up on December 6th. And so she has a quartet that I'm hoping, shouldn't be putting it out there yet, that maybe we can get some really good music that's going to be integrated within the inauguration. The inauguration is going to be different than a traditional pomp and circumstance one. There'll be some focus on students. They'll have a part on it, my past as well. But there'll be music integrated all the way through that whole ceremony.
Do you remember the first time you heard jazz? We talked about it on the air today, about asking people to remember
the first tune they
heard.
So let me tell you, my mother was a musician. My sisters and brothers have gotten degrees in music. I probably, in utero, was the first time I actually heard it, because I was a tag along with my sister graduating from Howard University, it was Howard University then. I was her tag along when she had to go to various recitals and practice. And so music has been a part of my family since the very beginning. So probably when I understood what it was, I was listening to jazz.
Is there an artist, past or present, that symbolizes kind of your makeup, their music, the fire, the spirit, the desire?
Ooh, so since I said I like music, right? I mean, I can go from jazz, from Boney James, you know, all the different ones along those lines. Everett Harp, I don't know if you've heard of him. But then, too, you know, gospel music is very, very important to me for my faith-based. So, you know, I can Donnie McClurkin, you know, we all fall down, but we have to get up, you know, that kind of thing. Anthems. Great is Thy Faithfulness, this was, again, a spiritual that I'm thinking we're going to use in the inaugural ceremony. It runs the gamut. The only music I don't like, I will tell you, and maybe I shouldn't say this, is that hard rock metal that's just bang, 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 bang. Anything other than that, I listen to it. First thing I get up in the morning, I turn my music on. When you come in my office, I always have music on. It's just, I can't take the quiet. I have to have the music. So.
Well, we have that music a lot of times. Will be WBGL.
Yes, it definitely will. Now, right now, I have an Apple subscription, so I usually listen to that because I can pick my mood, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. But now that I know about this station and I love jazz, it most definitely will be one of my favorites.
Fantastic. Last question for Dr. Marquita Evans, the first woman and first African-American president of Bloomfield College, is who got the word, other than family, mm-hmm. when you found out that you were going to be the new president of Bloomfield College?
The first person, I think maybe even before some of my family actually who got the word, was my past president at my other institution. She's a female as well. And she was my number one fan, besides my husband. He always says, I'm your number one fan. But, you know, she was there for me through the whole search process. I don't know if you know how those searches go, but they're extremely stressful. And again, knowing that you're going to be the first in a lot of cases, you go into some environments that are not very friendly as you're going through the search process.
No one's ever searched me as to be right. the president of anything. I can tell you that.
Okay. But she encouraged me because at one point when I was searching for a presidency, I was a finalist for about three positions before becoming the president at Bloomfield. I got to a point after having interviewed in a state where it's known for its discrimination and racism, but I really want to just go and be that first to maybe change it. I said, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I loved my job where I was. I loved the faculty, staff, and the community. But she helped me realize, Marquita, this is something you have to do. You will not be satisfied until you accomplish this goal, and we need more people like you in this role.
And her name?
Diane Melby, Dr. Diane Melby. Her birthday was just yesterday. But she was the one that really kind of kicked me back out there. She said, I'm going to leave you alone for a little bit, but you just let me know when you're ready, and we're going back at it. And so I'm thanking her publicly for that.
And from the response that I've heard about and seen about on campus already, we're thankful to her as well.
Awesome.
Dr. Marquita Evans is the new president of Bloomfield College with inauguration in December.
December 6th, 10 o'clock. Hope you all can come out.
What a pleasure to finally meet you, and yes. Welcome to New Jersey.
Thank you so much.